To be here, ain't it? I mean, I couldn't think of a better place I'd rather be than right here. You know, there's other places I could be, but I wouldn't be in the right place if I was there.
Good place to leave from.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. It would be. Yeah. Well, I don't have any of that. So anyway, but I tell you what, God's good. And I'm so glad that He's decided to bless us with His presence this morning. I've already been blessed. I was blessed when I woke up this morning, but I got a double portion when I got here. And I tell you, I can't wait to see what God's got in store for us. Something God's laid on my heart, and I just want to hope and pray that He gets in the middle of it. I don't know where we might go with it. I just hope it's something that glorifies Him and it helps y'all. If you got your Bibles this morning, I'm in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And when you find your place, please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. This is a pretty familiar passage, a story that most folks are familiar with. At least I hope you are. You spend any amount of time reading your Bible, you ought to know this story. But it's a really good, it's a good story, and it's just something that God impressed on my heart, especially after what He did for us last Sunday night. All right, Matthew chapter 15, I'm starting in verse 21. The Bible says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Bill, would you ask God to help us, please? Yes. Amen. You may be seated. I want to draw your attention to what He said, or what He says there in verse 25. It says, "Then she came and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me." Now, in light of what we talked about last Sunday about worship, and I told you last Sunday I didn't know what we were going to call that, but what that kind of ended up being called is worship and sacrifice. And this morning, by the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you about worship and prayer. Because, brother and sister, I'm going to tell you, the time has never been more dire than for God's people to get themselves a prayer life. Amen. And there ain't never been a time when the prayer bells of heaven have been getting rung by Christians, brother and sister. Christians that have got needs. Christians that have got broken hearts. They're afraid. They're discouraged. They're down. They don't know which way to go. And heaven's bells have been rung because people have been finally getting to the place where they realize, hey, I know where my help's at. I know where I gotta go. So that's what the thing is about this lady. Verse 22, this woman, she knew exactly where to go. It says, "Behold, the woman of Canaan came out the same coast, cried to Him, saying, Have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil." She said, "Have mercy on me." What is the importance of that? She wasn't the one that needed the help, but she told God, "Have mercy on me." Why did she ask for that? Because she knew that she would be a hindrance if she didn't have herself right with God when she was making a request on behalf of her little girl back home, vexed with the devil. But she come looking for help from the only one who was going to give her any. The one that was going to be able to do for her what needed to be done. But before she could get the help she needed for that little girl, she was going to have to make sure there wasn't nothing between her and Jesus. Amen. She had to make sure there wasn't nothing in the ways. That's why she said, "Have mercy on me. I know I don't deserve you to even hear me. I don't deserve that you even look my way. But Father, I got a daughter at home that's vexed with the devil. And if you don't help her, there ain't nothing else anybody else can do." Brother, I tell you, you consider this. Think about her as compared to the woman in Mark chapter 5. Bible says in Mark chapter 5 that there was a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. And the difference is between that woman and this woman is that woman didn't go. That woman in Mark 5 went to the doctors and went to the physicians, spent everything she had. Then she came to Jesus. This woman, it ain't no record that she took that girl anywhere. She went straight to Jesus. She knew where the answers lied. I'm of the opinion, brother and sister, that oftentimes our comforts get us to where we go to the wrong place before we go to Jesus first. Something comes a knocking at our door, and instead of walking to the Lord and saying, "Hey, what do you think about this?" we go to Mamma or Papa, or we go to a brother or a sister or mom or dad or friends, when all along the one that created it is sitting up there in glory saying, "Hey, I've got the answer. Why don't you ask me first?" Paul said, "I beseech you, brethren, first of all, that by prayers and supplications that you make your requests known unto God. First of all, not second of all, not after you went to the preacher. Now I'm here if you need anything and I'll do anything for you I'm able to do. But you better go to Jesus before you come to me. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. You come to me hunting answers, you know the first place I'm taking you. I'm taking you to Jesus anyway. You just want to go see Him first." This woman, she knew exactly where to take this woman. The cry wasn't for herself. The prayer wasn't for her. But she didn't want to be an interference. She didn't want to be a hindrance. Amen. Any chance that she had of getting through to God on behalf of her little girl, she wanted it to be a clear path with absolutely nothing to worry about tripping over or falling over. Too many stumbling blocks lay in the way when we make our way to the throne room of grace. And when we get there, we're beaten and we're battered and we're torn just by trying to make our way to the throne room. Amen. When that ought to be the easiest walk that you and I have as Christians. The easiest walk that you and I make as a child of God should be to Jesus. But oftentimes we make it the hardest one because of the stumbling blocks we leave in the way. Say, "What am I supposed to do?" Put the blood on that thing. And He'll move them out of the way. So all it is for you is a straight walk. Why? Because just like Peter when he got on the water, He don't want your eyes anywhere but on Him. When you're walking to the throne room, your eyes need to be on Him. They don't need to be on anything else. You should be looking at the ground, making sure you don't trip and fall. No, the blood should be on that thing. That's why this woman, she knew exactly where she needed to go to get the help. But before she did, she said, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I ain't worthy you should hear me. And it ain't nothing I've done to deserve you to answer anything I'm bringing before you. But have mercy. Have mercy." A cry for mercy from a person who had been there the whole time. She had been there from the minute that little girl had that devil go into her until the minute that that girl had the devil go out. She had been there through the spoiling. She had been there through the tearing and through the pain and through the agony. And when that girl would hurt herself or whatever comes with that sort of a thing, I've never seen somebody that's vexed with a devil other than just the fact that the devil gets on you and he gives you a hard time. But the way these people talk about it, an indwelling of a devil, a demon possession, I've never seen what that sort of thing entails. I've heard stories. But I can't imagine if you were the person who was a primary caregiver to somebody who had something like that and had had it for however long that girl had had that. and her mama taking care of her, trying to be there to make sure she don't hurt herself, make sure she stays clean or comfortable, make sure that any wounds that she might inflict on herself are cleaned and cared for, and there's ointment and there's balm. And all that time she was thinking, maybe it'll pass. Maybe it'll pass. And after a while, it just kept going and going and going, and she just settles into a routine. See, we do that. We'll do that. We get used to the stumbling blocks. We get used to the feeling of tripping and falling and landing on our faces to the point where it becomes a routine. And then whenever we forget about the fact that we've got somebody we can go to who would take them out of the way, by then we've done settled into our routine. We've got our little path weaved. And we'll make our way to the throne room when it's something that's convenient. Instead of going there every day saying, God, you're going to have to get this stuff out of the way. Because I've got to be with you. I can't not be with you. It's killing me not to be with you. This woman knew exactly where to take her need, but the problem was crying out don't always merit a response. 23, but He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away. She crieth after us. He said, send her away. She's becoming a pain. I wonder how many times the angels up there in the presence of the throne room look at us and say, oh God, here they come again. Lord, did You answer that prayer for them? No, I ain't answered it yet. Well, they're back. Placing an order to go. You know? Sometimes it seems the heavens are made of brass and it can't get a prayer no higher than the ceiling. You ever had them times? And it ain't always because sin's at the door. It ain't always because there's something between you and God. Sometimes it's just hard. Sometimes it's just a heavy prayer. And it takes a lot of praying to get it up there. Sometimes one time ain't enough to get a prayer that heavy high enough. Of course, now I'm telling you, the Bible tells you in Isaiah 59 verse 1, it says that the arm of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save, and the ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Amen. He can hear you when you're at the lowest of the low, which is where this woman was. Amen. It ain't never because God's not a listening. You notice what He said there? It didn't say He didn't hear her. What does it say? He answered her not a word. It didn't say He didn't hear her. It said He didn't answer her. You know, sometimes I think God may not answer the prayer just so He can see how serious you are about getting it answered. Amen. Are you willing to go to the throne room a second time or a third time or a fifth time? How about for 20 years? Say, God would do. I have seen God take a woman who prayed for a lost child for 40 years before that young'un got born again.
Amen.
Yeah. Everybody here, most everybody here remembers Ralph Henderson.
Yeah.
Or I mean Randall. Randall Henderson. Most everybody here remembers Randall. What was Randall's mama's name? Wasn't it Denver? I think it was Denver, wasn't it? Yeah. You know how long that woman prayed for that boy to get saved? 40 years. Prayed for that boy to get saved. And as an old woman, laying in the bed at night, at 3 o'clock in the morning, the phone rings. After 40 years. And a trembling, quivering voice on the other end says, Mama, you can quit praying. I got saved tonight.
Amen.
But how many of us would be willing to hold on for 40 years? This woman called out, Lord, my daughter's vexed with the devil. He didn't even answer. Thankfully, that wasn't the last time she called, as we're going to find out. But sometimes it just feels like heaven is made of brass. Or the prayer is just so heavy. One prayer, two prayers, three prayers is not enough to get it up there. It takes more. But this isn't just about prayer itself. This is about worship in prayer. Your persistence shows what's in your heart. And your desire to see it answered will be evident in your prayers. I said, your persistence will show what's in your heart. You keep praying about it, God's going to see. He's going to look on your heart and say, this is something they're serious about. I don't preach on this much, and I believe in it 150%. I don't preach on it much, but I believe in it. But I believe you ought to fast every once in a while. I think it should. See, now it's got real quiet in here. You know why? Because it's about 12 o'clock and everybody in here, I know everybody, somebody in here's belly in the last 2 minutes has went, so how do you know? Because mine's doing it too. It's 12 o'clock. It's time to go get something to eat. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. The persistence of your prayers is what's going to show God what's really in your heart. And if you want to really show God some seriousness, deny your flesh what it wants so that your spirit can get more, can get a little bit clearer between you and God. Moses was on that mountain 40 days and 40 nights without anything to eat when he was getting the commandments. Jesus Christ was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights with nothing to eat. Elijah was up on a mountain and the Lord had fed him, but he'd been fasting because he was down. Man, maybe I ought to preach on that one time. I don't preach on that much. I might have preached on that 3 times in 10 years. I might ought to preach on that. Y'all thinking, just tell me what Sunday you're going to preach on it. I won't be here. I'm going to schedule spring break during that one. You know, we don't like doing that, do we? I want to say this. This woman didn't meet the acceptable criteria. See, verse 24, it says, but she answered and said, or he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, she didn't meet the criteria. Why? Look where she was from. It says that she was a woman of Canaan. If you go to Mark chapter 7, you read the same account. You find out she was a Syrophoenician woman. She was a Greek. What is that? A Gentile. She wasn't a Jew. That's the other difference between that woman with the issue of blood and this woman. See, that woman with the issue of blood, she was a Jew. Because you get over there in Mark chapter 5 and verse 34, and when the Lord addresses her, He says, daughter. She was a Jew. This woman, what does He address her as? What does He say there in verse 28? Oh, woman. Woman? I mean, you couldn't say that to your wife now. Woman? I've tried it. It goes over about like a lead balloon. She didn't meet the criteria. She wasn't a Jew. Not only that, but get this. This is what I found very interesting. He said, I am not sent but unto not the sheep of the house of Israel, the lost sheep. This woman was lower than a lost sheep of the house of Israel. Doesn't Isaiah 53 verse 6 say, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. But that's where I find the significance of the status that the Lord gives this woman. He says, I am only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I ain't got time for you. You're lower than a lost sheep. No, what are you? I'm a Gentile. I'm a dog. All right, now look in verse 25. He says, then came she. Now here's where he comes. Then came she and worshipped. and worshipped, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I'm telling you, folks, worship is not always done in joy. It cannot always be done in joy. Again, if you wasn't able to be here Sunday night, I beg you, get that recording and listen to that. Not because of me, it's because of God and what He did here. It ain't always easy to worship whenever you know what's coming. It ain't easy to worship when you know what it could be that costs. It's not always easy to do. Let me point something out to you about this woman. Her worship came before she even got an answer. He hadn't even answered her. She was worshiping before she even got an answer to her prayer, and she may not have even got one.
Amen.
If she had not even got an answer, she was still worshiping.
Amen.
Now, I ain't talking joy of the Lord, hallelujah, praise God. No, what is worship? Bible says that God takes more pleasure in obedience than He does in sacrifice. And what is obedience? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Even if it means, like Abraham, I have to leave Mount Moriah without Isaac. Even if it means that I leave the presence of Jesus Christ, and when I get home, my daughter's still got that devil, and she has it the rest of her life. Nevertheless, worship is not always done in joy. Her worship came when it was at her lowest point. You know something? It's easy to worship God whenever you're joyful. It's easy to worship God when things are going good. It's easy to worship God when things are happy. But the rewards and the treasures that are laid up in glory come when you worship when things are going bad. When you're... And I'm not trying to bring it down. I'm just trying to be real with you. But when you're standing over a coffin and you say, well, glory to God, at least they're not hurt anymore. See how quiet it's got? Why? Because it's heavy. It's heavy to worship and when you're at work looking over a gurney and it's somebody you know, or when you're working in a hospital where you're wanting to have a career and there's a little child laying there and you know that that child's probably not going to be leaving there, or when you as a mom or a dad have got a child that's wayward and you know what totally surrendering them over to God could possibly mean. But you do it and you say, nevertheless, not my will. Lord, I've tried. I've done all I know to do. I've brought them before You I don't know how many times. And nothing's changing. Obviously, I don't have the right motives. So, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but Thine. And then you say, and thank You that Your hands are more capable than mine, regardless of what the outcome might be. Beloved, that is a very difficult thing to do. I'm learning it. I'm still learning it. I'm one of the youngest people in this room, and I'm just beginning to learn some of these lessons. A new baby on the way. It took me 7 years just to get to where I could put my wife on the altar and say, Lord, I don't want to lose my wife for anything, but if it were Your decision to take her, who am I to say You can't? Who am I to say no? And I had kind of made peace with that. Of course, I would have a very difficult time if something were to happen, as many of you have experienced. And I just want you to know, if something like that were to ever happen and I'm still here, I'm coming to you. And I'm going to ask you to pray for me. Why? Because you've been there. You've done it. And I'm going to need your help if it were to ever come. But then I found out I've got another little blessing that's a-coming. And when that blessing started on its way, that became my next Isaac. But when that Isaac came, the Isaac that was carrying it came off the altar. Because I wanted both of them took care of. And in the last week, it's been me and the Lord making a trip back up Moriah, because He told me that I was going to have to make sure to put them both on the altar. Her worship came at her when she was at her lowest point, but it also came in spite of His ignoring her, which she saw Him do. She saw His face and cried out, and He saw her and heard her, and she literally watched Him turn and ignore her. I can't see Him ignore me. I can't see Him not look at me or not hear me. I just have to trust that the Bible says He will hear me. And that's all I can trust. So what do I have to do? Even when the prayer ain't been answered, I have to trust that He's heard. But even if He doesn't answer, I still got to say, but Lord, I'm at least glad that I've got somewhere I can bring it.
Amen.
I can't do it myself.
Right.
I've tried and I've done nothing but make a mess. If I bring it to you and you don't do nothing with it, it'll still be in better shape than if I did something with it.
Amen.
You'd think any chance of help would have come, would have been gone after what He said to her, 26. But He answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." Now, if that woman had been a 21st century Christian, she'd have, "How dare you? How dare you call me such a thing?" Either that or she would have got oversensitive. "Well, now, Lord, that's so hurtful. Why would you say something to me like that?" Hey, amen. I'll amen it. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm not a dog. I say you're a dog.
Amen.
But Lord, I thought I was a sheep. No, Israel is a sheep.
Yeah.
Say, what are you? You're just a dog. Gentile. As a dog returns to his vomit, and a sow to her wallowing in the mire. I said, "You're a dog." You know what I absolutely find appalling about the whole thing? The difference is this woman knew where the help was. And she was willing to admit to whatever He said she was.
Amen.
If it meant she got the help she needed.
Amen.
Are you as willing to stand there before the judgment seat and Him tell you, "You are backslid. You are cold. You are indifferent. You are out of fellowship. You don't spend enough time in My book. You don't spend enough time in prayer. You care more about the things of your flesh than the things of the Spirit." Now, what was your request? Because at that point, I'm turning around and slinking back out the door. Lord, it wasn't that important.
Right.
See, it's kind of quiet, but I can tell I'm hitting the nail on the head. She was willing to admit to whatever He told her she was. It wasn't like that other woman. At least that other woman got acknowledged for at least being a Jew. She didn't. She wasn't. She was a dog. But then He gives her the answer. See, she gives Him an answer. She says, truth, Lord. Verse 27. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. See, there's your answer. Lord, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. And Lord, I don't know what else to do. I don't know. Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me, Lord. And what does he say? He says, it ain't meant to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Yeah, Lord, I'm a dog. I'm a dog, but at least the dog gets the crumbs. He says, okay, there's your answer. What's the answer? Crumbs. 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 Really, Lord? Crumbs? No, how about a crumb? Just a crumb. Not a loaf? No, just a crumb. But Lord, I want a loaf! You can't handle a loaf. You'll choke on it. All you can handle is a crumb. Oh, that's right. I'm just a dog under the table. All I can handle is a crumb. I can't handle a loaf. Over time, enough crumbs will make a loaf. Amen. You think about this. You think about all the other people that you look at and you watch, and it seems like you look at them and here they got a loaf. You know? It's like here's the Lord and He's just walking around with loaves. Funny, this is called Baptist bread. Isn't that funny? And the Lord walks by and there's your loaf, brother. There's your crumb. The next day he walks by, there's your crumb. There's your loaf, brother. There's your crumb. But you know what you're going to realize over time? He's going to visit you every day with a crumb. Whereas he may only visit somebody ever once in a while with a loaf.
That's right, brother.
And when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to find that the faithfulness and willingness and acceptance of a crumb a day added up to a bunch of loaves when you got in His presence. And the one who got the loaf at one time, and then it was a long time later before they got another loaf, they're not going to have near what you did. Why? Because you were willing to say, I'm a dog. I'm nobody. Say, yeah, and you don't get no bread. But Lord, that's fine. How about a crumb? I mean, they take a bite. There's a bunch of crumbs that fall. Just one. All right. We'll settle for a crumb. We'll settle for a crumb. I'd rather be the dog under the table getting a crumb than a beast outside in the field, not even in the house. I'd rather be the dog under the table getting a crumb as a beast out in the field, not even in the house. But fortunately, I'm neither. I'm not the dog under the table, although that ought to be my mentality. I'm not the dog under the table, but you know what else I'm not? I'm not the beast out in the field. I'm a sheep. I'm still a sheep in the fold, yet sometimes I still just get crumbs. I still just get crumbs. You know why? Because He sees that's all I can handle. All I can handle is a crumb. Can't handle a loaf. I can just handle a crumb. So this morning, I want to encourage you in this. I'm done. I just want to encourage you in this. When you're calling out to Him and it don't feel like you can get that prayer much higher in your head, keep praying. Worship Him even if He don't answer. And just keep being willing to accept a crumb. Lord, I want the loaf. I want the full healing. I want it all. He says, you can't handle that. I'm going to give you an example and then I'm going to hush. There was a preacher who had a couple of boys, and he was the type of preacher that he preached the truth. He loved the Lord. Yet a little while down the road, some things began to take place in his community and in his town, and he began to compromise, strayed from the truth. It didn't just end up in his congregation, it poured over into his home. Say, they still had a Christian home, still had a presence of God, but unfortunately, those boys grew up seeing that. The boys got older, became men, never got saved. You know who those boys were? One of them's name, as we know him, the outlaw Jesse James, train robber, who had a brother who helped him. Sons of a Bible-believing preacher who wasn't content with a crumb. He wanted the loaf. He wasn't content with a crumb. Because of that, two of his boys fell into a life of crime, were known throughout history as thieves and wicked men, and probably died and went to hell. Sometimes it's best just to say, Lord, I'll be satisfied with a crumb.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed and eyes closed just for a few minutes. As she plays, if you felt the Lord dealing with your heart and you need to come, come on. Don't tarry. Don't wait. Go ahead and come on. Worship and prayer. She knew where to go. She went to the right place. She was even willing to take the ridicule and admit what she was, and she admitted to being whatever he called her. That probably wasn't the hard part, I don't think. I'd say the hard part was probably just her being content with a crumb. He said, I ain't giving you none of this. It's not for you. That woman in Mark chapter 5 that had an issue of blood for 12 years and spent everything she had on doctors before she went to Jesus, she got a crumb, or she got a loaf. But the Gentile, the outcast, the one who's set apart, the stranger, said, I'll just take a crumb. Lord, if you'll just give me a crumb, I'll take a crumb. Yeah, I'm a dog. I'll take a crumb. Oh, woman. He tells her in verse 28, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Whew. Stand before him and all you got is a pile of crumbs. He says, yeah, but boy, you ought to see the loaves that's going to make. You ought to see the loaves that's going to make. Great is thy faith. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But that woman made a pathway to Jesus. But before she did that, she cried, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. She didn't want anything in her way. And church, that may be what we need to make sure we do. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm not worthy you should hear me. I'm not worthy you should answer. I'm not worthy you should even look my direction. But have mercy. Because there's some people that need to be lifted up before you And I want to make sure that I'm strong enough in spirit that I can bring them to you. And He'll pour the blood out on that pathway from Calvary right to the throne room. And all those stumbling blocks are going to be moved out of the way. And then it's just you and Him. He says, "What do you want? Lord, I'm hungry. How about a crumb? Lord, I'd like a loaf. You can't handle a loaf. Okay, Lord, I'll take a crumb. And I'll take a crumb a day if you'll just give it to me. I don't want a loaf today and then a loaf another week from now. I'll take a crumb today, and I'll take a crumb tomorrow, and I'll take a crumb on Wednesday, and then I'll take a crumb on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And Lord, I'll take a crumb on Sunday. Maybe by the time I've spent a little time being faithful with crumbs, I'll realize I've got a loaf. I appreciate your attention this morning. Hope God's blessed you.